Fáilte. My name is Andrew Healy, and I'm a lover and drinker of Irish whiskey. I'm on a journey of discovery to learn as much as I can about the great spirit of the Emerald Isle. Along that journey, I'm lucky enough to meet other people who are passionate about Irish whiskey, and the My Favourite Irish podcast is their story and their favourite Irish whiskey. Whether that's their current favourite, their first ever dram, or one that has a special place in their life. On today's episode, I got to spend some time recently with Sean McCain. Sean, a fellow dub, is the proud owner of the Sixpence Public House in The Hague, or Den Haag, in the Netherlands. And we talked about Sean's journey to owning the Sixpence Public House, the fine selection of Irish whiskies that they offer there, how and where they source that fine selection from, and of course, we talked about, and tasted, his favourite Irish whiskey, which is Greenspot. Please note that we had some audio issues with this recording. Sean sounds great, but I'm a little echoey in places. Listen along.
Fáilte ar ais. Normally I'm welcoming people back to my bar, but we're at someone else's bar today. Sean McCain, bar owner, barman, Irish whiskey lover, Irish and fellow dub, most importantly.
That's correct, yes.
So yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course, more than happy. Yeah, welcome.
So, you own this wonderful place that we're sitting in.
I do.
How'd you end up here?
I ended up here, mixed story. Came here for school and then just kept going, pretty much. Fell in love with the bar trade. I've been working in bars since I'm 16. I started in Kennedy's in Drumcondra. I probably shouldn't say this on tape. Started Kennedy's in Drumcondra. Mick Kennedy was my hurling manager. And she gave me a job in there, pulling pints. And then went on to the Fianna GAA club. Pulling pints in there, and then I went to Mango's out in Port Marnock, and that was good fun.
That's a name I remember.
That was a good time. That was a nightclub. And then, of course, different gigs in Croke Park. You do your Christmas parties, and you do your Aviva Stadium and the Six Nations and all of those things. But when I came here, then John Goulet from O'Casey's around the corner, he gave me a shot and made me work for it. And then I was with him for almost 4 years, and great times, really good times. And then went from there to work in Barn 47, which is now called Hudson Den Haag South.
Okay.
Worked for a gentleman, Mark, who's my partner in this. And good times there as well. He opened my eyes to the capabilities of what hospitality can be. You understand? Like, it's not just pulling a pint and,
it's
over the shoulder. He opened my eyes to how the actual business side of things run. And then, yeah, and here we are together. Mm-hmm. Him and his cousin Paul seemed to take a shining to me and said, "Right, Sean, go and do your thing." And so we're still here.
So no better than an Irish person to actually run an Irish
pub. That was the whole selling point. They could see me as a barman in their big venue. We had like 400 seats, 500 seats a night. And I'd be doing the bar with maybe a runner. You nearly need to be an octopus because it's like an island bar and you have everything behind you, front of you, everywhere around you, doing copies.
That's how a good Irish barman is. Yeah. Is that you're, one hand you're pulling a pint of Guinness out front and you're
Over your shoulder.
Exactly.
And you're talking to three different people.
And you've got three orders on the go. Yeah. No, it's almost a craft on its own. It is.
We make the best. And
so here, this is. You're obviously, we're in your place.
Yes.
Here at Sixpence Public House in Den Haag. How long have you been open?
Opened on the 15th of November 2019. And it was fantastic. Really, really well. We had massive publicity. Of course, we opened under Shelby and had the whole PE Blinders team going on. And then it was at a sweet spot when I think season 5 had just finished and everybody was mad about it. And people traveling from Spain, from Belgium, people driving in one day down from Sweden to get a photograph in front of the Instagram wall. I didn't even know we had an Instagram wall. We had an Instagram driving back again, like not even having a drink, having a cup of coffee. And we just Copenhagen. I remember one father and son drove from Copenhagen, came in. The son had a whiskey. The father had a soda water. They put their hats on, took a photo, said goodbye, and then drove back.
Wow.
Bananas. It was humbling and very, very...
So you hit on something without even realizing it.
And then, of course, COVID decided to knock on our door.
Yeah.
And then...
So that would have been 4 or so months after you opened?
Yeah, 14th of March. And it was unfortunate because it would have been my first Patrick's Day. And like I said, I had great times in O'Casey's, but I was the only Irish bar owner. So it was my time to, you know, I'm going to show you what St. Patrick's can be.
Put a stake in the ground, so to speak.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And we had major events sorted out. We had the Kosovo Tribunal were doing their host here. We had the embassy wanted to use this place. One woman was even flying a harp, €12,000 in insurance just to get the harp over here, to have that kind of level of musicians. And then the 11th, which was a Wednesday, everybody came in one after the other, and all of the reservations just started to go. And then we realized, okay, this is a lot bigger than we thought. Mm-hmm. And then the Saturday, I called Mark and I said, I think, naively, I volunteered to close for 2 weeks to let this die down.
Well, it was only going to be 2 weeks. That was the cycle. And then it was, you know, maybe another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then when did you reopen?
May 29th.
So that was 2.5 months.
That was the first lockdown. Yeah. And then we had, I think, restrictions, so like 6 o'clock and predominantly food only. And then they opened it to 12. And then eventually we went to full hours, but we only got 2 weeks of full hours. Then back to 12, mm-hmm. back to 10, okay, back to 8.
Okay.
And then in that time, I got my hands on Thomas and Christian, who are, you know, they're just as, if not more important to this place than I am, because they are just remarkable. They work like I've never seen before. And they're young, they're 22 and 23, but they've got heads in them like 35-year-olds, you know, who've been doing this for 15, mm-hmm. 20 years. So when that day stuck around, then the first lockdown after this first lockdown, the second lockdown, they stuck around through the second lockdown and got to work.
And so what were you doing to kind of keep the business going when you were
locked in?
Okay.
We started making limoncello, ciao bello, and the two words have now turned it into a pretty decent business. We're doing limoncello, we're doing markets, we're doing Irish shoe in a bag, we're doing burgers, takeaway, anything that we could.
Because obviously you've got, you know, the bar, you've got a kitchen.
Yeah.
And you've got staff.
Yeah,
and you want to keep the staff
as well. Yeah. That's the main thing. You have to keep them interested. They said to me at the beginning of the second lockdown, they said, Sean, what do you want to do? Do you want us to go home and come back when you open up again? And I knew if I said yes, I'd never get them back. I said, lad, if you stick with me, I promise you, if you just stick with me in this second lockdown, we're going to do great things together. And that's what's happened.
Right. You know,
that's fantastic.
Right. So we're here to talk about Irish whiskey, and, yeah. and you know, we'll get to your favourite in a few minutes, and we have a great selection behind us. So your first experience of Irish whiskey?
Graduation night. I went to CUS on Leeson Street, and it was graduation night. And I was working in Kennedy's at the time, and I was astounded by the lads who used to do a pint and a little one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was.
So it's called a pint and a little one?
A pint and a little one.
So I didn't know it was a pint and a chaser.
A pint and a chaser, yeah. Or else they're pointing a baby Jemmy or something.
Yeah.
And even though you asked for a baby Jemmy, they'd want powers or something. It was, what's going on here? So, and of course, first pint after graduation, I walked in with all the boys from school and the teachers and thinking, Billy Big Bollock, give me a pint and a little one. And the barman looks at me and goes, are you sure you want that? Like, I'm 18, like, and I didn't want it. And I learned the next day that I really didn't want it. I wasn't ready for it. But then after that, of course, years later, just looking at what different whiskies are, my uncle, my father's sister's husband, he's mad into his whiskey. He has collection, remarkable collections at home. And he just started just saying what this is and what that is. And I was thinking, okay, it may be something.
And you mentioned to me that Hubert Middleton.
His uncle or his father were the gatekeeper at Middleton.
Okay.
So he had the full Middleton collection from bottle one way up to, I don't think he has 2020 yet because I think COVID put a spanner in the works for that.
Okay.
But now he has from the first one all the way up. And
so are you in the will or, you know, are you using your name? I can sell bottles.
No, indeed. Let's see how well the buyer does. Contributes to that as a gift. Or I buy it from him, but yeah, his own two boys are also big whiskey lovers.
Okay. So you mentioned there, you know, when you brought it over from CUS, that, you know, a pint and a little one. I wouldn't have drunk whiskey back in my late teens or early 20s either. Just, I think it's something
you come to as you get older. Is that you, fair comment?
It's a fair comment, but I've always been a bit of an old soul. Like, I'm only 33, you know, but I mean, when I was 21, my dad would tell me, you need to start dressing your age, stop wearing my clothes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I've always kind of been a few years ahead in those kind of things when, Like most of my friends here are minimum 10 years older than me. You know, I've got a handful of friends that are around the same age and that, but me and my brother, who also lives here in The Hague, he lives in Holland. Most of our friends are much older than us. You know, they're in the 40s, their 50s, their 60s.
So is there a whiskey drinking culture here?
So,
okay.
Yeah, there's one good customer here, Dennis O'Donovan. And I'm happy I'm going to call you out, Dennis. But he only comes in on a Friday. And he has a couple of pints and he doesn't go mad. And then every Friday he treats himself to one.
From the top shelf?
From the top shelf. Okay. He'd have one decent one. He'd look, he'd have 2-3 pints and say, what am I going to have tonight? And then, of course, then the challenge is you have to sell it to him. You know, they call you out and ask you to sell it. So then you're saying, well, I have this and I have that. I have a Keeling's pineapple rum cask up there. That was the last one that he had and he absolutely loved it. You have a lot of the lads who are in that age bracket that I just described, who are friends that also, they would come in and have a whiskey. And this place kind of made whiskey fun for them when they started seeing all of the bottles on the counter and like, what's that and what's that? So then we started a whiskey culture then almost in The Hague.
It's gone a long way since, so at 33, I did some quick sums here in my head.
Yeah.
It would have been about 50 years ago that you did your leaving cert and left CAS, so roughly speaking. So we've come here 15 years in Irish whiskey.
Yeah, in Irish whiskey, majorly so. Like I said, when I was working in Kennedy's, it was Powers, Jameson.
The old suspects. Same,
probably the same as when I did my leaving cert. You know, you had the 4 or 5 brands,
and that was
two or three distilleries.
Yeah. Bushmills had a bad reputation for some reason. I think The Wire gave Bushmills a bad reputation.
Yeah, it was funny. When I was growing up, there was, you know, you and I being dubs, you would drink Jameson because it was the Dublin whiskey.
Yeah.
Well, didn't that move down to Middleton in 76, 77? Yeah. So, you know, what did you drink then? Because the last thing you want to be doing is drinking a whiskey from Antrim or a whiskey from Cork.
Cork, exactly, yeah.
So there's always been this kind of, I don't know, underlying snobbery, you know, parochial thing.
But I think it's all changed now, given that there's, you know, 4 new distilleries in Dublin. You know, I'm from right down the Wicklow border. We've now got Paris Court and Glendalough as well. It's all changed.
I think it's also the mentality of things have changed as well. People encourage other people to do things now, and that's a fantastic thing. So you see young lads, Jack and Stephen from Keeling's, what they did with that was remarkable. They turned that completely from a couple of barrels that they inherited to, now I think it's knocking on the door of Jameson at this point.
Yeah. And they're doing, to their credit, you mentioned a pineapple cask.
Told you we had a Recioto. We had a Recioto cask last night in Amsterdam.
God, it was just off the charts and not an expensive whiskey.
No, and you don't expect it. Like, people see it and they think, oh, I'm not going to bother touching that, and you find out it's only 9 euro a drop.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they're making it accessible to most walks of life as opposed to your Middletons that are accessible to those who have the 75 euro to spend on a 35 cl glass.
Yeah, so no, it's great that you've seen the, you know, the evolution of it as I have, and obviously you've jumped into it sooner than I have, and I'm a 52 and you're a 33, so you're having fun long before I ever thought about it. So with all that talk, let's talk about your
favourite.
My favourite is got to be the Green Spot.
Yeah.
Any of the Michelin zones. Also, because they're a subsidiary of Middleton, how do you say, you know, you go to the Mercedes, if you want Mercedes, you go to Mercedes. If you want BMW, you go to BMW. And that's how you can look at your Bushmills and you can look at your Middletons. But I think this is almost like a Tesla. It's going to be a...
It's interesting to talk about
the Teelings and what they've done.
I think so often we
this is essentially part of the big boy stable. You know, it's an Irish distiller's product owned by Pernod Ricard.
They've done a great job. You know,
and I've read all about the history of the spots and the history of it, because as we know, with every Irish whiskey, there's a great story, just like with everybody in the industry, there's a great story.
And they're often knocked for, Jameson's, you know, being a commercial whiskey. But if it wasn't for Jameson, that'd be no category.
No, it wouldn't.
So, you know, the fact that they're doing fun things like the Neville Barton and the Montalena, which is, you know, close to where we live.
Yeah.
I mentioned it to you, they've just literally this week, they're launching a range out of Greece from a Greek winery. And I'm not sure if you're going to see it here, but there's an Irish family in British Columbia, the Stewart family.
Okay.
And they've done a collaborative with them in the Okanagan Valley. So,
okay.
So I don't know if it's been down to which market.
Yeah.
But they're taking a great care product.
Yeah.
And they're adding a layer to it.
Big time. And yeah, I think another one similar to the spots is Method Madness.
Yeah, that's the experimental. They're experimental.
No.
We still live in Dublin on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Some of them make it to
Dublin. Dublin, we hope.
Dublin.
In any airport.
Yeah, we're looking to hook up with somebody in duty free as well. We're looking to do something like this with them. So no, we're looking to. The problem is, there's only so much room in the suitcase,
you can always take a few extra suitcases.
Exactly. So let's take a drop of real fave in a glass, and we'll have a little bit of a taste. So obviously, this is how we're. You know, present the whiskey here.
Yeah.
At Sixpence Public House. Ice, water, neat. How do you drink these?
I actually normally, if I have it in a tumbler with one cube.
One cube, man.
But I'm not going to do it full measure because I still have work to do today. So
we're
we doing the neat.
A one cube, man. Would it be a good size cube or a bigger cube?
A smaller cube. Okay. I tend to hold it until the cube will start to drop. I like it cold and I don't like it too hard. And the book, I think it's called The History of Whiskey or something, but in the first couple of pages, the writer basically says, there's no right and wrong way to drink whiskey. Drink it as you like it. You like it with cola, drink it with cola. You like it with ice, drink it with ice. Yeah.
So
whatever way you want to enjoy it, enjoy it.
Yeah. So beer's not your favorite. We should say sláinte.
Sláinte.
Yeah. So what do you think about this? Man, it's just a classic play. And we're down to the bottom of this bottle, so it's really opened up.
Yeah. That's about a week on the shelf, and that tends to be one of our quickest sellers as well.
So a week on the shelf is, 50 bottles a year, give it to me, and probably around St. Patrick should be selling more.
You're selling a bit more, Christmas especially.
Okay.
Is that one step above your Jameson that you can, you can justify spending a few bob extra for it?
Yeah.
It's not crazy. It's not like Middleton. It's not like Jameson 18-year-old Bowstreet, but it's still up there.
We do whiskey flights here.
We do whiskey tastings. We do both service tastings and one of the mill standard printout tastings, where we give you the individual whiskies with the information about them, and you can do it yourself. Or what we tend to get with the bachelor parties and that, they'd want somebody there to do it.
Do a little bit of tutoring.
Yeah. A bit of education. Where they come from? What type of bottle is it? Who owns the company? Or what's the relevance to Dublin? It also helps when you have a Dublin accent and you're telling them about the whiskies.
Yeah.
But funny enough, Christian, he's the go-to guy when it comes to the tastings. He's this Italian from north of Italy, and he's just so relaxed and so calm that they're happy to sit back and listen.
About the Italians.
There is something about the Italians,
We know the Dublin accent, but the Italians have a bit more class than we So if you're doing a green spot tasting, would you add on the Montalena and the Lady Barton with this?
Give them an option if they want. It depends what your budget is more so. Different price categories. From, I think it's 35 up as far as 175, and that's there's four levels in between.
Okay.
And then the 175s will be three from the cabinet and two from the shelf.
Okay.
And the 35s would be four from the shelf and one from the cabinet.
Okay.
And even the one from the cabinet wouldn't be the Bowstreet, put it that way.
Okay. Great selection, and great to have such a range of spots here.
Yeah.
And obviously, behind the bar, there's about another almost two dozen on offer.
Yeah.
No, it's a lovely range. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And you're responsible for buying it all?
Together with Thomas and Christian, and also with the brand ambassadors, we do a lot of work together with them. So the Brewers guys, they own a brewer around the corner called the Tap Room, Sergey and Yitali. But Sergey used to be the Brewers rep. So when you start off, you tend to partner up with your big companies and your Bacardi's and that.
Yeah.
And Brewers is the Bacardi pouring whiskey. And Sergey got involved quick as you like, no extra hassle, no nothing, and just jumped on board with us how to build a selection. And then Thomas and Christian, the more education that they do and the more learning that they do every night, then they come and say, Sean, this is an action in hand, or this is one that people have asked for that we haven't had it for a while. Okay, go for it. And then Christian will say, well, I did a tasting last week and two of them requested this. Okay. Are we? You know what I mean?
It's interesting having come down to you here in The Hague from Amsterdam. We went through a number of Irish bars up there, and
yeah,
I have to say, I won't name names,
yeah,
but I was disappointed with Irish whiskey selections.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Credit to you and your team here for a decent, really decent selection. It's, you know, one of the bars was four times as many Scotch bottles as there was Irish. And we will get a selection that doesn't have to be the way.
Yeah.
You can have smoky, peaty Irish if you want, yeah, at different levels.
On a bar.
Yeah.
The steadfast.
Yeah.
12 year day and we have the single malt. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's great Scotches, not knocking Scotch at all, but I think, you know, an Irish pub should have a good selection of Irish whiskey.
You want to be rubbing shoulders with the Scots if you're going to be calling yourself a whiskey bar, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No. Great. Well, listen, we're going to do a little launch and probably have a little drop of this. And then we will, well, thanks for having us.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about it. I'm a red breast lover, but there's something about green spot that just,
yeah,
you know, it's lovely. So, good, Margus. Thanks for thanks for having me here. We look forward to coming back in when it's open time and maybe doing some damage to some credit card. So, thanks and pleasure.
Pleasure.
Nicely done. Well done, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. You'll find more episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find the My Favorite Irish video series at irishwhiskeylad.com. That's Irish Whiskey with an E, LAD.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd appreciate it if you could take a couple of minutes to leave a review or a rating at your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, sláinte wá.